I'd like you to take God's Word this morning and go with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Now, I promise we're going to be in the Christmas story tonight and for the next couple of weeks, but today I felt very strongly an impression from God to preach this particular passage. So we're going to Luke 5 this morning. Come back tonight. Our primary choir is singing. I know from firsthand experience, some of those kids in the primary choir can be downright entertaining. I know that because a few of them are mine. Life may be many things at the Gillette House, but it is never boring. And I can promise you tonight, the primary choir, they will sing songs that will exalt Jesus, and you will enjoy it while they do. So come back and hear them. We'll hear a gospel message out of the Christmas story tonight. So be back at 6 p.m. tonight. I want you to imagine a bleary-eyed, discouraged fisherman. He's bending over, washing out his nets by the shore. The morning sun is rising over the Sea of Galilee. He has an aching back and calloused hands. He's fished the Sea of Galilee all of his life and never had a night of fishing worse than the night he just had. Sometimes people ask me, do you like to fish? The answer is no. I like to catch. If I know they're biting and we're pulling them in, I'll go fish. But I'm not going to sit there for hours in the middle of the water and not have a bite. I'll go do something else. Not Peter. Peter lived to fish, and he fished to live. Look into the face of this seasoned fisherman. You'll notice obvious signs of discouragement. But if you were to have a conversation with him, and he were to bare his heart to you this morning, you would find that the source of his discouragement goes much deeper than a bad night of fishing. Several months ago, his brother Andrew introduced him to a young rabbi named Jesus. Peter was immediately drawn to him. And as Jesus was localized in the Galilee region for the early part of his ministry, Peter would fish during the week and would go hear Jesus on the weekends. Peter heard Jesus say things that no one else had ever said. He saw him do things that no one else had ever done. In fact, Jesus had healed his own mother-in-law not long ago. Everything changed when Jesus said to Peter one day, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers, a fisher of men." Jesus was expanding his ministry beyond the region of Galilee, and he wanted Peter to go with him. Peter knew what that meant. He'd have to leave fishing, leave his family, leave it all to follow Jesus. To be honest, in Luke chapter 5, Peter's still having a tough time with that decision, and I think we can identify. It's one thing to listen to Jesus' word. It's another thing to even place our faith in him. But it's another thing entirely to give up everything to become a devoted disciple of Jesus Christ. And that's the decision Peter's wrestling with when we come to Luke chapter 5. In the passage we're about to read, Jesus is going to do something so convincing that by the end of the story, Peter and his two partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, are going to leave it all behind and follow Jesus. Let's begin reading in verse 1. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him, Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. The story we just read spans a period of about 6 hours. During that 6 hours, we have recorded for us in the Bible three specific things that Jesus said. Now, we know he said more than those things because he taught the people from the boat. But the Bible chose to record only three things that Jesus said because those three things stand out above the rest. Christ is bringing Peter to a progression in this text that I believe he wants to bring every person in this room to, and I believe he wants to bring our church to. Notice verse 3, what it says in the middle. He prayed him that he would thrust out a little. What's the first thing Jesus said? Thrust out a little. Look at verse 4. Speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. Underline that in your Bible. And then skip ahead to verse 10 at the very end. He says, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. So I'll put all of my remarks this morning under those three calls from Christ. Thrust out a little, launch out into the deep, and then I say it this way, leave it all and fish for men. Three calls from Christ that every person here needs to hear this morning. Notice his first call, thrust out a little. How does the story begin? Well, Jesus is preaching to the crowd. When the story begins, a crowd is gathered to hear the Word of God. Can I remind you this morning that the preaching of God's Word had the preeminence in the ministry of Jesus Christ? Above being a healer, above being a miracle worker, Jesus was a preacher. So imagine in your mind's eye a large crowd gathering because they heard that Jesus Christ is teaching the Word of God. And I just want to remind you again, above all programs, above all ministries, above all activities, the preaching of God's Word has to be first. It has to be first in our lives. It has to be first in our church. We're going to gather people not by putting on a show. We're going to gather people by preaching God's Word because only God's Word can change people's lives. I believe there's still power in preaching this morning. Empowering God's Word, and when it's preached clearly and biblically and boldly, people will still gather in Fort Worth, Texas to hear it. So Jesus was preaching to the crowd. But don't miss this. Jesus was pursuing an individual. It must have been a coincidence, a great coincidence, that out of all the shorelines on the Sea of Galilee, that Jesus came to teach at the exact location where Peter had docked his boat and was washing his nets. That's no coincidence, is it? Jesus set out to preach to the crowd, but he also set out to pursue an individual, to pursue Peter. Even after Peter had already disobeyed Christ's command to leave it all and follow Christ, he's already given that call and Peter's rejected it once. Even after his disobedience, Christ is still pursuing him. Isn't that wonderful? It's no coincidence either that someone knocked on your door, by the way. It's no coincidence that you got that gospel tract, that you were born into a Christian home, or that someone called you and invited you to church today. What that says to me, it says that God is pursuing you. You're here today because God is after you just like he was after Peter. Lost person, God loves you. Jesus died for you, and he wants you to be saved today and receive eternal life. But many of us in here are saved this morning. And I want you to know that Jesus is still pursuing you. Whatever level of discipleship you currently have, Jesus is pursuing you because he wants to take you deeper. He wants you to go a little further. And I'm glad with 7 billion people in the world that Jesus Christ wants an intimate, personal, close relationship with me. Isn't that good? So what was Jesus doing? He was preaching to the crowd. He was pursuing an individual. Now notice what he does for Peter. He tells Peter, thrust out a little. See, Peter isn't ready for the deep water yet. He's certainly not ready to leave it all yet. Jesus knew at this point in Peter's discipleship exactly what he could take. And by the way, he knows what we can take. So he simply tells Peter, thrust out a little. Just do a little more. So Jesus gets in Peter's dirty fishing boat. What caught the attention? They push off a little. And then Peter gets a front row seat to hear the greatest preacher the world has ever known. And for just a few hours, it's him and Jesus. Can I tell you this? I believe that even the smallest acts of obedience can be rewarded by great blessing. Peter wasn't doing a lot. He just did a little and he got a great reward. He got to hear Jesus preach from his boat. Do you remember when you first got saved? The Lord knows what we can handle. So he calls us in those early days just to thrust out a little, right? Read your Bible every day. That's not going to Bible college. That's not starting a new ministry. It's just carving out 15 minutes a day to read God's Word. Pray. Just for a few minutes, do it every day. How about this one? You've made it here on Sunday morning. That's wonderful. Come back on Sunday night. In those early days, that seems like a big inconvenience, but in the grand scheme of things, it's really not a lot to do for Jesus. He's saying just thrust out a little bit. And though those things seem like inconveniences now, as you grow deeper in your discipleship with Jesus Christ, one day you'll realize that compared to what God is asking you to do years down the road, those acts of obedience were pretty small. But those acts of obedience were rewarded in a great way by God. Now listen, I've heard 5 sermons that I can say changed the course of my life, and not one of them was on Sunday morning. I'm glad I learned to come back on Sunday night and Wednesday night. I can't tell you what a joy it's been to me to sit down every day and have a devotional life with God. That had to start somewhere. I was up and down in my early days. I would do it a little and wouldn't do it a little. But I'm so glad one day I thrust out a little and made a decision. No matter what happened, I'm going to do this every day. And the greatest blessings of my life have flowed from God's Word and my obedience to it. I'm glad I just decided, you know what, no matter what else I got going on, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God for specific things, and then I'm going to pray in faith and wait on Him to do those things. And I can't tell you in those early days how God increased my faith simply because I prayed 5 minutes a day. And here I am years later praying much longer than 5 minutes a day. But my prayer life today is built on the foundation of thrusting out just a little bit and seeing God bless and give great reward. So what if Jesus is just saying to you this morning, thrust out a little? Can you imagine what would happen in this room if everybody did just a little bit more? I mean, if all of us together as Worth Baptist Church just decided, we're just going to go a little further. A little more Bible reading. A little more faithful praying. A little more witnessing. A little more church attendance. Just a little bit more giving. Can you imagine what could be done for the cause of Christ if all of us would just thrust out a little bit? Peter did. And a small act of obedience changed his life forever. And by the way, a small act of obedience today could be the turning point that changes your life forever. So he says, first of all, thrust out a little. But once Peter has gone out to the shallows and stayed there for a little while, Christ has another call for him. Look at verses 4 and 5. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. And let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Here's the thing, folks. Peter didn't want to go out in the deep. We see that by what he said to Jesus. Most Christians don't want to go out into the deep either. There's an old song that describes a lot of Christians in a lot of churches, and I think some of you might be familiar with it. Sitting in the morning sun. I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in. Then I watch them roll away. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay. And what's the next two words? Wasting time. Some of you knew it. I'm not the only sinner here, okay? There are a lot of Christians in a lot of churches. You know what they're doing? They're just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. But let me tell you who isn't on the dock of the bay. Jesus isn't there. Where's he? He's in the deep. And if we're ever going to be more than spectators on the shore, shallow-wind Christians, we're going to have to make up our mind that we're going to launch out into the deep with Jesus and watch Him do incredible things. Listen to me today. Lives aren't being changed on the dock of the bay. Marriages aren't being put back together on the dock of the bay. Souls aren't being saved on the dock of the bay. All that's happening in the deep. And that's where God wants you. But let's launch out into the deep. As I was studying this week, I didn't realize what I was going to learn about faith from Luke 5:5. But it's actually one of the most incredible verses about faith in the entire Bible. Notice three things we learn about faith, genuine faith from Luke 5:5. We learn, first of all, about the authority of faith. Simon answering said unto him, Master. You know what faith is? Faith begins as a matter of surrender. A matter is, who's going to have the authority? Who's going to call the shots? Now, here are some things going against this fishing excursion that Jesus wants Simon Peter to take. It's the wrong place, out into the deep. That's not where you fish for fish in the Sea of Galilee. It's the wrong time. It's in the middle of the day. Simon's been fishing all night at the best place at the best time. He caught nothing, and Christ is calling him to the worst place at the worst time. He'll have to get his nets dirty again. That doesn't mean much to you, but it means a lot to a fisherman who just spent all morning washing his nets. He'll have to involve other people. You know why? This wasn't a small boat. These weren't small nets. He's going to have other people get in the boat and inconvenience others. You know what? There are still a lot of people watching on the shore, right? They've gathered to hear Jesus teach. They're still there. And if Peter launches out to the middle of the sea and lets down his nets, they're all going to think Peter's gone crazy. All the fishermen in Peter was saying, this will be a total failure. All the faith in Peter was saying, nevertheless, he's the master. That word master implies authority. It was only used of people that had the right to give orders. Listen to Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What does the writer of Hebrews mean when he says, he that cometh to God must believe that He is? Well, it's ellipsis. He that cometh to God must believe that He is God. Now, that seems very basic, doesn't it? But when you admit that there is a God, and you're not Him, that has some radical implications for your life. Amen. Who's in charge of Peter's boat? Well, on every other day, Peter was. He owned this business. He was the fisherman in charge. Where he said, the men went and the boat went as well. On every other day, Peter was in charge. But who's in charge of Peter's boat now? Jesus is. Amen. Peter has relinquished the authority of his boat to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the master. He gets to call the shots. Let me ask you a question this morning. Who's the master of your life? Who's in charge? Who gets to call the shots for you? Who gets to call the shots for your relationship status? Does Jesus have the right to tell you who you can date and who you can't date? Ma'am, who's in charge of your marriage? You or Jesus? Sir, who's in charge of what you look at on the computer? I know everyone else does it, and you don't think it's going to harm anything, but do you have a master? Or are you your own master? Who's in charge of your finances? Does Jesus have the right to call you out into the deep financially? Or are you still stuck in the shallows in that important area of your life? Here's Jesus, a carpenter from Nazareth, on Peter's boat, telling a master fisherman where to go fish. You know what that tells me? Jesus doesn't want to just be the master of your Sunday. He's not just the master of Sunday school and revival meetings and ministry stuff. He's your master while you're at work. He's your master while you parent your children. He's your master while you hang out with the guys. This is Jesus invading an area of Peter's life that Peter didn't want to give to him and confronting him with who the master is. Who's your master? Thank God, Peter said, Jesus, you're the master. You know what? That's where faith begins. It's a matter of authority. We learn about the authority of faith, but we also learn about the anchor of faith. Great word in a story about fishing. Because Peter says, Master, we've toiled all night. We've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word. This phrase grabs me every time I read this story. See, because you're the master, Jesus, your word carries the weight. Now that Jesus calls the shots, we have to know what the shots are, don't we? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is always a connection in the Bible to a life lived out in the deep and a life that is obedient to the word of God. It's important. You know why Peter launched out? Very simply, because Jesus told him to. He had his word on it. And folks, as Christians, we're never going to have more than that. Why do we go out soul winning? Because we have his word on it. Why do we begin new ministries? Well, because we have his word on it. Why do we gather on the Lord's day? Because we have his word on it. Why do we tithe? Because we have the word on it. And at some point in your level of discipleship, none of those things made sense to you. Jesus called you to an uncomfortable place, but you said, just because God's word said it, I'm going to do it. I have an anchor. Let's make a decision as the people of Worth Baptist Church that when God calls us to the deep, we will go at his word. I want to challenge you for the rest of December, as we get into a new year in 2016, to launch out and let down your nets at the word of God. Every time this coming year, God's word says to do something, make a decision to live at his word. Whether it's a person that needs Christ or someone that you need to forgive or a financial sacrifice God is calling you to make. The Christian life is a life that says, I know what my reason says and I know what my emotion says, but nevertheless, at thy word, I will. You see, we have far too many Christians saying, I won't. We need a few more devoted disciples that will say, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. I will. So we see the authority of faith. He's the master. The anchor of faith. Faith is simply living at God's word. Then notice the action of faith. It's right there at the end. He says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, I look this way. Here's how we know Peter's faith is genuine. He doesn't sing a song about letting down the nets. He doesn't think real hard about letting down the nets. He doesn't have a prayer meeting about letting down the nets. He doesn't preach a sermon about letting down the nets. You know what he does? He lets down the nets. You see, faith is an action word. You know, 90% of people in America, just about 90% say that they are religious and have a faith of some kind. Here's what they mean by that. Intellectually and very inwardly, I believe in something. You know, that's not real faith. I like this definition for faith. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth. We don't talk about our faith by what we sing about or what we pray about or what we preach about. We talk about our faith by what we do. Faith is an internal belief in the authority of God and his word that leads to an outward action. We can't say we have faith. We can't say we've thrust out a little or launched out into the deep until we actually do something with what God is calling us to do. Faith is an action, and please don't miss it. Here's the exciting thing about faith. Are you ready? Here's what Peter didn't know. Before Christ called him to the deep, he's already called the fish there. Do you know this? They're already schooling in the location where Peter will park his boat and let down the nets. They are waiting for Peter to act by faith. There's a miracle waiting for Peter in a place that he can only get to by faith. God didn't call the fish to the shallows. God called the disciple to the deep. And this is how he's still working this morning. He's not bringing miracles to the Christians that won't live by faith. He's not bringing miracles to the churches that are stuck in the shallows. Below the surface, in a place where you can't see, in a place you can only get to by faith, God is waiting to do a deep work in his life and bring the rewards that only faith can give. And I want to say to our church family, let's launch out. Let's get to a place by faith where God will do something. Listen to me, parents. If our kids are going to follow Jesus, we got to offer them something more than a Sunday morning shallow wind Christianity. We got to live out in the deep. So let's launch out. As I was studying this week, I asked myself this question. Why do I spend so much of my life stuck in the shallows? Oh, there have been some moments where I launched out by faith, but as I surveyed the landscape of my life, it seemed that I spent so much more time in the shallows than I do the deep. I'm convinced this morning that God doesn't want us just to visit the deep every once in a while. God wants us to live there. So he says to Peter, Peter, okay, you're not ready to go all the way. Thrust out a little bit. Then once Peter gets out a little bit, he spends some time with Jesus. Jesus says, okay, launch out into the deep. He has one more thing to say for Christ, to do for Christ. Here's what happened. They caught a great catch of fishes. The nets begin to break. A miracle has happened. And look what happens in verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that was with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. Here's Christ's third call. We're going to get to it here in a moment. Leave it all and fish for men. Notice Peter's reaction. Well, first of all, he was amazed. Why was he amazed? It says he was amazed at the catch of fish. See, Peter knew fishing. And he didn't have a fish finder. He could go where he thought the fish would be, but only God could know for certain where the fish would be. And Peter had probably been to a lot of places and a lot of fishing holes where he knew the fish were, but they didn't get them. Jesus not only knew where the fish were, he knew how to get him. And Peter begins to think in his fisherman's mind, only God could do something like this. Listen to me, folks. When you stop living by faith, when you get out into the deep, you will see God do something that only He could do, and you will be amazed. Peter was amazed. But then he was afraid. How do we know that? He falls down at Jesus' knees and says, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Why is he afraid? Because he knows now who Peter really is. He's a sinner. He's a disciple that wouldn't leave it all to follow Christ. Now he knows who Jesus really is. And this is a reaction we see so many times in the Bible, that when someone is conscious of the fact that they are in the presence of God, they fall down at God's feet and they're afraid. If you were to ask me what the Christian life is, here would be my answer. It's at the same time being amazed and being afraid. That's what Peter is. He's amazed and he's afraid. Church, here's what I want for our church. I want us to launch out into the deep. Why? Because that's where Jesus is. And when we get there, we will be amazed by Him together. Amazed by what He does and amazed by who He is. And then He'll call us deeper. And we'll get afraid again. And amazed again. And afraid again. And amazed again. Now, notice Jesus' response. He says very quickly. He says, Simon in verse 10. Fear not. Peter wants to leave the boat. He wants to get out of the presence of Jesus. He wants to run away. While Peter's trying to run away, what's Jesus doing? He's trying to pull him in. And maybe you brought so much shame with you to church this morning, you're not sure whether you can ever come back. Listen, you want to run. And we've had a lot of people run in 2015 here, all right? A lot of people that started the year with us that aren't here with us at the end. A lot of folks have run. Please don't miss this. Don't run away, because Jesus wants to pull you in. And he says, you fear not. I still love you. I still want to use you. And then he says, from henceforth. Those are two incredible words. I love this. This is the story of following Christ. It's a henceforth. New beginnings. Fresh starts. Blank pages. A new life. And listen to me today, this is the offer that God has on the table for you this morning. Maybe you came in here lost, not sure that heaven is your home. He wants you today to know the Master, turn from your sin, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He wants to give you a brand new life. And maybe this morning you're like Peter. You've made some mistakes in your discipleship. You haven't followed every time you should have, and you feel ashamed and afraid because of that. Listen to me, the offer that Jesus has for you is for a henceforth. A brand new start, a fresh beginning, a new life in Jesus Christ. And tonight at the altar, this morning at the altar at the front of this church, you can have that new life in Christ. Jesus has a henceforth for you. Isn't that good? And he says, fear not. From henceforth, and I love this, you will catch men. Now, what does it really mean to launch out into the deep? We don't have to make it up. The Lord Jesus tells us what it means. From henceforth, you'll catch men. The fish in this passage are a picture of the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. So Jesus calls us to thrust that a little in our lives. Then he calls us to launch out in the deep. Then we get to know him when we decide we're going to follow him no matter what. What does it mean to launch out into the deep? It simply means this: to catch people. That's what God's calling our church to do this morning. That's what God's calling you as a Christian to do this morning. Now, it's an interesting word. It's used only one other time in the Bible. It means to catch alive or to capture alive. The only other time it's used in the New Testament, it's used of Satan, who's setting a snare to trap people. Did you know something? Satan's fishing this morning? You better believe it is. He's got his hooks all out into the water. And as I was studying this passage this week, I began to wonder to myself, why did Jesus call fishermen to be his disciples? Fishermen. Why didn't he call soldiers or shepherds or merchants or servants? I believe these fishermen already possessed some excellent characteristics of disciple makers. They had to be men of courage, not afraid to leave the shore. They had to be men of determination that understood that failure is a part of success. You're not going to catch something every time you go out. They had to be men willing to enter into messes for a catch. Fishing is a dirty business. You can't be afraid of that if you're going to catch fish. Listen to me this morning. I believe God is still looking for some men and women that are ready to go out fishing for him. Men and women of courage that are tired of living in the shallows and ready to launch out. Men and women of determination that won't get discouraged just because they knock on a few doors and someone doesn't get saved. Men and women ready to enter into the messy lives of lost people with the love of Jesus Christ. Real ministry doesn't happen in safe, clean, successful places. I want you to know that real ministry happens in messy places where people are hurting and they are lonely. And that's what it means to launch out into the deep. And let me close with this. Did you know December is excellent fishing weather? Not for fish. I'm not getting out on a boat this time of year. It's not excellent fishing weather for fish, but it's an excellent fishing season for people. Do you know that? Do you know more people will go to church this month than any other month of the year? So here's my question. Are they going to come here? Are they going to come to a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church? Well, only if you go out and catch them and bring them in. I'm convinced God is really only doing one thing in this world. He's calling his disciples to the deep, telling them to let down their nets so they can catch the souls of lost men, lost women, lost boys, and lost girls so that they too can become devoted disciples of Christ Jesus. Three calls from Christ. Thrust out a little. Launch out into the deep. Leave it all to follow him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this passage. I see in Peter's discipleship my discipleship. So often I've been unwilling to go where you've called me to go, and no doubt there's many people like that in this room. I pray that they would have a henceforth this morning. Lord, I know there are some people lost here. They're not certain that they're on their way to heaven. I pray that today they will begin their new life in Jesus Christ. And I pray for the Worth Baptist Church, that you would call us as a faith family out into the deep, and we would be amazed because you do something that only you could do.